Numbers chapter 13 on into chapter 14. The people of Israel have been rescued from Egypt. They have been taken towards the promised land. They've sent out a spy party to explore the land. And in verse 26 of Numbers chapter 13, they return. They come back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there." The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us up to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole assembly gathered there. Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. And if you would turn forward several books to Joshua chapter 14, fast forward in history, 45 years. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses the man of God at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. When I was 40 years old, when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people sink. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me the hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and that their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb son of Jephunneh and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. Very simple question at the top. Have we got what it takes? We want to see not just a little group here. We don't even want to see a big group here. We want to see churches planted throughout Donegal. To see those churches growing and flourishing, and people in the areas where those churches are coming in and finding salvation through Jesus Christ. Have we got what it takes? Or are we just here to play church? Or are we here to see God build his kingdom? Have we got what it takes to build and to see a vital, living fellowship of God's people here? Whenever we look through our Old Testament, we find many men and women who had what it takes. We're going to look at one this morning. His name's Caleb. And throughout the book of Joshua, we see this principle at work. Those who follow faithfully, those who have a vision, and when I say that, I don't mean some mystical thing that descends from heaven, but those who have got a great idea, who aren't just looking at the here and now, but who are looking beyond that. Those who have that vision see God at work in great ways. We see it throughout the book of Joshua. And we see it underlined for us with this man, Caleb. You see, if we are going to follow faithfully, that requires vision. Because we're told in Hebrews 1 that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not yet see. And that's not just referring to salvation. That's not just referring to being in heaven with God. That's how we live in the here and now as well. It requires us to have faith. To think that this place will be filled. In fact, that we'll have to hire the leisure centre or something to meet. Or that this church will be planting other churches. It takes vision to see that and to think about that and to pray for that and to live for that. And Caleb is a man who sets us an example of what this vision and this faithful following are like. Caleb is first mentioned in the passage we read. One of the 12 spies in Numbers 13:10 reported that the land was good but unconquerable. And then Caleb reports back and he gives his minority report. And first of all, we read there something. He silenced the grumblers. Told them to be quiet. And then he reported back, there was him and there was Joshua, and he brought his minority report, and he was supremely confident, not of his ability, but of God's ability. And he almost lost his life for the sake of it. I read that the crowd, the Israelites, when I say a crowd, don't think of 100, 200 people, think of a million and a million and a half people, were angry with these two guys, and they were going to stone them to death. How terrifying must that have been? This huge mob, ocean, sea of people about to stone you to death. And he says, no. He stands firm. This is Caleb. I want to learn from him five things about vision and about following and about what it takes amongst God's people if we're going to see God at work. First of all, vision and faithful following are anchored in God. They're anchored in God. It's not just that we dream up these ideas from our own head and we whip each other up into a frenzy of activity. No. Faithful following and having a great expectation is anchored in God. It's first of all anchored in God's word. And then it's anchored in God's activity in the past. Five times in the 10 verses we read in Joshua 14, five times Caleb refers to God's word or to God's promise. Verse 6, verse 9, verse 10, and then twice in verse 12. God said. God promised. God said to Moses. Evidently this played a major part in Caleb's thinking. This short speech. God said. God said. But God said. And it was 45 years ago that God had said it. That He had made a promise in Numbers 14. We didn't read on to verse 24. But in verse 24 He promises that Joshua and Caleb will be the only two of that generation who will enter the land. And five times Caleb hammers his point home. And we see this faith in him. It's nothing more than taking God at His word. It's anchored in God's word. It knows what God has said, and it turns it around, and it pleads those promises back to God. And that's our foundation. What God has said. That'll spur us on and feed us in terms of having a vision for Donegal, in terms of having a vision for church planting, in terms of having a vision for what's going on here. God has said. What has God said, though? Caleb knew exactly what God had said to him. Caleb, if he was going to give his life to the extent that he would stand against not just 10 other spies who had gone into the land, 10 other explorers, but against 1.5 million people, he wanted to know what God had said. And if we are going to stand here, if we're going to follow faithfully, and if we are going to, as it were, stand against the pressures of this world and the mockery of this world, as they think, you're going to plant churches, you're going to see churches in Falkara and Dunloe and Bundoran and Ballyshannon and Newton Cunningham, you're going to see, where, what? That's stupid. Churches are closing in those places. If we're going to have the vision to stand against that, we need to know what God has said. We need to know the promises. Caleb knew what God said. Do we know God's promises? I will build my church, he says. My word will not return to me void, he says. The harvest is plentiful. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. You will receive power to be my witnesses. What you are to say will be given to you. Those who honour me, I will honour. This rock, he promised to Daniel, you see rolling down this mountain and destroying the statue that symbolised all the religions of the world. This rock will grow into a mountain and will fill the whole earth. Of the increase of his government, there will be no end. His people will be willing in the day of his power. That day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for a sign to the people, and the Gentiles shall seek it. The heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth his glory. The Lord will build up Zion, and he shall appear in glory. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. Psalm 72. From the river to the seas. From the river Euphrates. It was sort of the boundary, as it were, of their empire. On their world. The people of Israel's world. And God says, see from there. See from where you think the limit is. From there to way beyond that shall come to me. Promise after promise after promise after promise. This evening, it's time for our session. Our focus is on praise and prayer. We're going to focus this evening on God's promises to His church, so that we can take some of these and start using them in prayer, because they will feed our vision and they will feed our desire to follow faithfully, as Caleb's desire to follow faithfully was strengthened for 45 years by this promise that was made to him. Caleb had taken God's word and he had hidden it in his heart. His following and his vision were anchored in God's word. But they weren't just anchored in that. They were anchored in God's past activity. In God's past actions. We're not just required to have some sort of bizarre blind faith where we hope that God will do what he said. Caleb wasn't just sort of taking God simply at his word. He had seen this God act in the past. God never requires us to have blind faith. He gives us plenty of evidence for our faith to say this is perfectly reasonable. Caleb had seen God bring the people out of Egypt. Been a much younger man then. Not too young. In his late 30s. Wasn't quite 40 yet when they were brought out of Egypt. They'd have seen the Red Sea parted. They'd have seen all the plagues that were brought. They'd have seen Pharaoh and his chariot swept away as the sea walls closed back in again. They'd have seen all the provision in the wilderness, the manna that came. They'd have seen all of that. For 40 years he had seen God provide for them day after day after day, water and manna and quail in the desert. And then for the last 5-6 years he's seen God give them victory. They'd come into the promised land. They'd hit the central cities first, and then they'd swept up round the northern cities and attacked. And they had staggeringly seen victory. What 45 years previously the people had been terrified, and you remember in the report of the spies they said, well, those people are there and they're there, and those people are by the sea and those people are by the river, and they're like giants. We were like grasshoppers. We'll never take them. And for 5-6 years of the northern campaign, the central and northern campaign, Caleb has seen God at work. And that has fed. That has fed his vision and fed his faithful following. He's been remembering what God has been doing. He's seen what God has done in the past, and he's tied what God has done in the past to what God said he would do in the present and in the future. He says, well, what reason is there for me to give up now? What reason is there for me to have small hopes and small dreams and small thoughts of God? There's none. He said he would do something great. He's shown that he already has done something great, that he's capable of doing great things. Who am I to have small thoughts of God? And so following made immense sense to Caleb. And Caleb's following wasn't a tagging along. It was an all-in following. Now, do we plead God's promises? And are we familiar with what God has done in the past? So that we can say, Lord, you've done this. We've seen you at work. That's why we need to be thankful in our prayers for what we've seen and done, for answered prayer, as we come together to pray for each other, and as we, in a sense, report back that God has answered prayer, we need to take great encouragement from that. God's at work. God's at work. And those of us who are Christians have a much greater reason to have vision and hope and to be faithful and to be active in our following and in our expectations. Jesus Christ has come and he has laid down his life to build a kingdom. And he has said, I will build my kingdom. And his Father has said, I will build a kingdom in honour of my Son for his sacrifice. And those of us who are Christians, we know the reality of that sacrifice. And that should guarantee for us what God is going to do when we look at those promises. Those promises of kingdom building, of the church growing, are bought and paid for with the best blood, the richest blood, the most precious blood of Jesus Christ. And if we go back a little moment to put ourselves in the place of the people living in Canaan, in the promised land, just before all this happened, they would have looked at God, or looked rather at God's people, and they were wandering about the desert. They didn't look too impressive. They didn't seem as if they were coming to take over the land. And they wouldn't have been terribly worried about it. They would have thought there's nothing too wonderful about these people of God or their God. But there was just a delay. And when the delay was over, God brought his people in, and God caused his kingdom to be established, and God caused it to grow and spread. And just because there's been a delay doesn't mean that God isn't going to keep his word. Just because things seem unimpressive at the moment doesn't mean that they won't be impressive later on. You know, the people of Canaan would have looked at Israel in the wilderness and they would have doubted this great talk. They would have mocked Caleb for his faithful following. He said, look, 30 years you've been following in the wilderness and nothing has happened. 35 years, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. And now look, you're 80 and nothing has happened. Now you're 81 and you're still fighting. What's an old man are you doing fighting? 82, 83. 84, 85, 85, 86. God gives him his land. And Caleb sees the kingdom extended. He sees his faith justified. You see, if you're not a Christian, that's why you need to come to Jesus. Because the end result is not in doubt. You look now and the things don't seem impressive. But one day they will be, because God will not let his son's work on the cross be worthless and made as nothing. Final score is not in doubt. And if we're Christians, we need to anchor our vision and our following in what God has done and what God has said he'll do. And we need to be like Caleb in that regard. Faithful following requires courage. Vision and faithful following, second place, require courage. Caleb doesn't just sit back. He's a man of great courage. He picks out the most difficult piece of ground. Read, it's the hill country. And the hills aren't just like little rolling hills around here. They're fairly severe hills. And if you have a fortress set on top of a hill, it's fairly easily to defend, very hard to attack. It's impregnable. Caleb says, I want that. I want that. And not only that, it's not only got the best fortified positions, but it's got the biggest people. And we read that he talks about these Anakites. And that's the very people that the whole nation had been terrified of way back in Numbers 14. Then we read in verse 12 that it was fortified. And then you add to that the fact that he's no spring chicken. He's 85 years old. And people will be saying to him, Caleb, it's time to settle down, take it a bit easier. He'll say, not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. But there's more to Caleb's courage than that. There's the courage that we thought about a moment ago to speak out for the truth. Willingness 45 years previously to speak out for the truth of what God had said and what he had seen. And what he knew God would do. And a willingness to stand out against the doubters. And that takes courage. And if we are going to see God work amongst us, we need to have courage to take a stand against those who doubt. Those who doubt even amongst Christians. Who are just content to go to church. And who doubt that God could do anything. They think, well, we're just holding on in this little community. And that's what we do. We need to take a stand against the doubters. We need to disregard others' opinions and not be swayed by it. We need to let our opinion be shaped by what God says. Not only that, Caleb had to take a stand against those who just wanted to take things easy. There were people amongst the children of Israel who, when they came into the promised land, they just sat back. Took it easy. If you were to flip over in your Bibles to chapter 18 of Joshua in verse 3, you would find Joshua challenging the people and saying, what are you still sitting here for? Why have you not gone and taken the land? Caleb didn't hang back. Caleb went and took the land. He was prepared to stand out. He was prepared not to take it easy. He was prepared to show up his fellow professing believers. He wasn't prepared to take his standards from them and say, well, they're following God and they're not doing very much. I'll not do very much. He knew what God had said and he went for it. And we need to be prepared to stand out amongst this community and even stand out amongst the community of Christians. We're prepared to take a stand for what God has said in our home, in our work, in our school, in our studies, in our business, in our friendship. Are we prepared, like Caleb, to risk being in a minority over our attitude to things that are right or wrong? and our attitude to what we'll talk about or not talk about, where we'll go, what we'll watch, what we'll say, what we'll do. Are we prepared to take a stand, or do we not want to disturb the status quo? You know, people would say, you know, let's not disturb things. You just go to your little church and you do your thing, but don't expect us to change. Don't expect the people of Donegal to change. Don't expect anything great to happen. Don't expect Muslims. Don't expect Hindus. Don't expect all sorts of lost people. Don't expect those to change. You just get almost we're prepared to say no. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news and to come to Jesus. Are we prepared to stand up for that? Are we prepared to stand up in church and to stand out? Are we prepared to stand up for what the Bible teaches and for the standards that it has? See, this is faithful following. This is where it comes down to. And that takes courage. And if this church is going to grow, we'll need that courage. You know, Caleb was prepared to campaign for taking the land, and in doing so he was disturbing the easygoing lifestyles of those around him who were prepared just to come in and settle down and not disturb very much. And if we're going to see things happen, we need to be prepared to disturb the easygoing lifestyles of Christians, professing Christians in Donegal. It's not enough just to go to church a little bit and to give Jesus a little bit of our time. If Jesus did what he did for us, we've got to be prepared to be courageous in what we do. It takes courage, but you see, there's Caleb with his courage, and look what God did with him. Look what God did through him, and look what God did for him. It's exciting. It's exciting. You know, the people who stayed in their own little patch down in the valleys never got to enjoy the triumph of seeing God at work when they took the fortress on the hilltop. Whenever we're courageous and we step out in faith, putting our trust in God's word and in God's power, doing what he says, we see great things happen. Faithful following is courageous. Vision and faithful following, then, it means taking action. We've seen that. Caleb wasn't a dreamer. Well, he was a dreamer, but he wasn't only a dreamer. For 45 years, he had had a dream, a vision, an idea. More than an idea. He knew what God had said he would do. And it's good to dream and to think great thoughts and to pray and to plan for what God could do here in Donegal, for to pray and to plan what God can do amongst our circle of friends and the people that we work amongst. It's great to think about that, and we've got to do that. Are you doing that? Are you thinking about your family circle and praying that God would change them? Are you thinking beyond your family circle to the circle of people you work with? Are you thinking and dreaming great thoughts about what God could do? Have you a list of people that you're praying for in that circle of people you know, and whether they're family or colleagues or neighbours, you're praying for them? We've got to do more than dream. Caleb, we see, is not just a man who dreams. Dreams are like bones. They need flesh and life, and we can put flesh on them by action, and we can wait to see if God breathes life into them. We see Caleb itching to get going, verses 10, 11 and 12. And verse 13, what is it that we read? It doesn't take him long. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as an inheritance. He just wanted to get going, and Joshua blessed him, and he got going. And then later on in chapter 15, we read of him triumphing. Chapter 15, verse 13. In accordance with the Lord's command, him Joshua gave to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, a portion of Judah, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. And verse 14, from Hebron Caleb drove out the three Anakites, these are the three chieftains, and from there he marched against the people. He just kept going, and Caleb said, I will give my daughter to the man who attacks it. The man just keeps going. The man just keeps on going. He takes action. He's got a desire to obey. He remembers. He's stirred. But it's not enough just to remember and to be stirred up. He takes action. He looks to the past. He sees God's goodness. He hears God's promise. He drags that into the present. And he says, well, if God did it in the past, He can do it in the present. And I'm going to act as if He's going to do it. He does something with the memories. And that faith obeys and acts regardless of the circumstances. He's 85. He could have taken it easy. In fact, there was money to be made by not driving the people out. God had said, drive these people out. I'm giving you the whole land. There was money to be made by not driving them out. And some of the other tribes didn't drive them out because they were making money. They were trading and they were getting rich. Caleb says, no. God said. He plows straight. He doesn't focus on the difficulties. The story of the two shoe salesmen who were sent to Africa. And one of them telegraphed back. He said, coming home, nobody here wears shoes. Or by telegraph back, said, send lorry loads of them. Nobody here wears shoes. You know, do we see difficulties as something to stop at? Or do we see difficulties as something that God works at? Caleb saw them as something that God can work at. The problem meant that the people of the tribe of Joseph in chapter 17, they said, well, we'll stop. It's too difficult. Caleb, he saw a problem. He said, let's go. Let's go. There's a vibrancy and an energy about him. And problems and difficulties are only another opportunity to see God at work. And we see how wholehearted he is. Three times in those verses we read, he's described as being wholehearted. Six times that word is used of Caleb in Scripture. No ifs, no buts. Just gets going. What a challenge. Man of action. Based on God's word. Not just random action, but action that's focused by the promises of God, by a desire to see God glorified. Action focused in that way. What difficulties do we face? An unreceptive community, perhaps. People not interested in the Bible. People set in their own religions. Fear. We're afraid of going to them and what they'll think of us. They're afraid of changing religion as they see it and losing their identity. Oh, but this is who I am. I'm Irish and Irish people are Catholic. Or I'm Indian and Indian people are Hindu. Or I'm Pakistani and Pakistani people, we're Islamic. Oh, no. King Jesus came for all people. But there's fears that people have. What difficulties do we face? We've got to overcome our fear and overcome their fear. We've got to overcome the desire for an easy life amongst us. We want an easy life. We don't want life to be difficult. What difficulties? We might feel we don't have the resources. We don't have the abilities that we would need. We don't have the answers that we'd want. But faith walks by faith, not by sight. Being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not yet see. And we see that with Caleb. We see it, the Lord helping me, he says. The Lord helping me. He's relying on God to go with him in his action. There's no waiting for Caleb. And now, three times, he says, and now. We're looking to act. We're looking to obey. Are we holding back because of the difficulties or the fears or the worries? Are we determined to obey whatever the problems? It's really exciting to see what God does when people obey regardless of the problems. Here's encouragement for us. This isn't a sort of a battering ram. You've got to obey, you've got to obey. This is, look what God does. Look what God does whenever we say, who cares about the fears and the worries? I'm going to go with you, God. Who cares? Now, there's Caleb. 1.5 million people against him and Joshua. Now, we don't have 1.5 million people in Donegal. So we're already one up on Caleb. Not only that, There was only Caleb and Joshua and Moses and Aaron. There were four of them who were standing together. There's more than four of us. Two up on Caleb. We're determined to obey whatever the problems. Then fourthly, vision. Having this vision and being faithful and following means we'll rely on God's strength. Verse 12, the Lord helping me. Verse 11, Caleb was strong and vigorous, he says. Doesn't count on that. Here's the answer. We're afraid. We don't have the resources. We don't have what it takes to reach this whole county. So what? God has. The Lord helping us, we'll reach this whole county. Caleb's wasn't a cocky confidence in his own ability. See, it's good that we don't have a lot of resources. If we had a lot of resources, what would we be tempted to do? To rely on ourselves. If you and I had all the answers to all the questions that people had, we would be cocky and confident going into every discussion. Oh, I can win this. Nonsense. The Lord helping me. The Lord helping me. Faithful following doesn't rely on our own resources, but it looks to God for strength. And it sets such a massive challenge in front of us that we will know that we can't meet it. Only God can meet it. There's a quiet confidence in God. Same as the other great men of faith throughout Scripture. Not a cockiness, but remember Jonathan. Jonathan, his armor bearer, look up at the Philistine camp on the top of one of these rocky outcrops, and they're fed up with these boys mocking God's people. These two great men of faith. Jonathan says to his armor bearer, they had one sword between them. And Jonathan says, we'll go up, and maybe God will work through us. And they climb up, and God works through them. He's relying not on his own sword and his own might and his own skill as a warrior, but on God to give him the victory. And it's the same for us. Not counting our chickens before they're hatched. Not demanding as if God has to give us the victory. But coming with great expectancy because God is mighty and strong. Came across a quote, forgotten now where I found it. The writer said, there is, I suppose, such a thing as a mathematical faith that refuses to move unless it has it all worked out on a calculator. And then there is this faith that looks upon a faithful Almighty God who delights to surprise his people with his goodness. There's this faith, the faith that loves to venture itself on such a God. It loves to, since take risks on God, knowing that God will not let his people down. The Lord helping me, I will drive. Balance between faith and action that puts faith into action. You know, if we're all faith and no action, not a lot will happen. If we're all action and no faith, a lot of things will happen. But they'll go nowhere. We need both in balance. Are we relying on God for strength? And then finally, faithful following perseveres. Having a vision perseveres. It keeps going. We read of Caleb, several words spring to mind. Committed, courageous, obedient. He's a man of conviction. He's faithful. But in the midst of death and pointless wandering throughout the wilderness for 40 years, there's another word that comes to mind. Perseverance. He says, I'm as vigorous as I was 45 years ago. He's lost none of the cutting edge of his faith. He's kept on going. God had said, I'll bring you into the promised land. Nicholson had to wait 2 years for this series of sermons. Caleb. 40 years. Before they get near the promised land again. Another 5 years of fighting. And now he sees God honor his word here. Do we have that long-term vision? Are we going to persevere knowing that God has said he will build his church? knowing that he said that people from every nation, tribe and tongue, people from the islands will come. We're going to persevere for however long it takes. We're going to persevere because sometimes it's not this generation that sees it. There's a lot of Muslims coming to faith today in countries like Morocco and Algeria and that sort of North African strip. And why is that? It's because in the 19th century there were faithful Christians who went out and who gave their entire lifespan to going around every village preaching the gospel. Many of them saw not a single convert. These truths got passed on and people talked about them. And now God, over the last 50 or so, 60, 70, 80 years since they've gone, God has been honouring that. And their perseverance has meant that the ground was ripe for the seed of the gospel to take root and to grow. Faithful following keeps persevering because it knows that the end of our life isn't the end of the story. We'll meet people in heaven. We'll meet people in heaven. Just as Caleb's going to meet us, we'll go up to him and say, "Caleb, you know, you really encouraged me." Caleb will go, "Wow, my 45 years perseverance wasn't wasted." And if we keep persevering, God willing, in heaven, people from 100 years time, from Donegal, from Tory, from Aran Moore and the islands, come and say, "Thank you. Thank you. You guys persevered. And you maybe didn't get to see churches planted everywhere you wanted them planted in your day. But you want to hear what God did in my day?" They go, "Come and tell us. Come and tell us." God does not despise the persevering faithfulness of his people. And Caleb kept going, renewing himself day by day, reminding himself of God's word, keeping on obeying, serving God, keeping doing it, keeping believing. See, because growth will be no flash in the pan here. It'll not happen suddenly. We're going to have to give ourselves to it and keep on going. But when God's people have this great expectation of their great God, and they put their faith in the word of this great God, and they live as if this great God really could do great things, and they expect this great God to do great things because he said in his word that he'll do it, the winds of the Holy Spirit start to blow across this county. Things will start to change. And like the windmills down the road there and the tops of the hills, the sails will start to turn and people's lives will be like that. They'll start to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit and they'll start to turn and to turn themselves away from one way of life and to turn themselves towards God. We find in chapter 15 verse 14 that God does not fail his faithful ones ever. He doesn't fail his faithful ones. So those of you perhaps who have been faithful for many years in different aspects of church work, some here in Donegal, some further afield, keep being faithful like Caleb. Those of us who are, as it were, starting out on the journey, let's take courage from Caleb, and more particularly from Caleb's God, and keep on being faithful so we can look back and see God doing and having done great things through us and around us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, here's this guy many, many years ago, centuries ago, millennia ago, persistent, persevering, courageous, faithful. We want to be like him. We want to see you do great things through us. We want to have that courage so that even when we are old and grey-headed or no hairs in our head, even whatever life brings to us, that whenever we're old in our faith, we will still be vigorous and excited and wanting to do something. I pray, Lord God, that you would give us a great picture, a target of what you could do here to aim at, and that we would be aiming at that and expecting great things of you and looking to see great things done for you here, and that we would put our lives in your service, and that we would act, and that we would be praying, and that we would be living and working towards you doing great things here or wherever you take us to, wherever you place us. Thank you that the Christian life isn't just something bland. It's not just going sit in church. It's not even just a relationship. It's richer than that. There's a whole adventure to it. A conquest of a kingdom. And the growth of a kingdom. And we are the King's servants, His ambassadors. And we thank you for that. Father, we pray that we would be like Caleb. In Jesus' name, Amen.